Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
I can feel a new expression on my face.
Welcome back to 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for helping me celebrate the 18th anniversary of our Small Business Advocate broadcast. We're on the radio for 18 years this week. And it's also the 16th anniversary of our e-zine, which you can subscribe to, by the way, at smallbusinessadvocate.com. I encourage you to do that. We have not missed an edition. We have not missed an issue on Sunday afternoon since 1999. So check that out. And that's a commitment, folks. And it's the kind of commitment you make every day in your business. I'm not doing anything you don't do. We show up, don't we, small business owners? That's one thing about small businesses. We show the heck up. And I'm so proud of you for that. Joe Barker knows all about that. He's a small business owner just like you and me. He's also happens to be a futurist and one of the best in the business. The author of my favorite book, Paradigms, The Business of Discovering the Future. JoeBarker.com, and they can find your films at StarThrower.com.
Yes, they can.
So check all that out.
The films are good for people who don't have time to read the books.
And if you get a chance to watch the video, the Paradigms video, it is very entertaining. It's, what, about 25 years old now?
Yeah, and we actually redid it about 5 years ago to bring up new examples.
Right,
but
right.
The basic principles have never changed.
That's right,
Jim.
That's right.
From 1974 till today, my first speech had the key principles that still exist today.
Yep, it's amazing. Yeah. All right, so just to wrap up real quickly on the drug thing, we talked about the drugs, two drugs earlier that were drugs for another disease is now being applied to new diseases.
And I think all the point I want to make is that the drug companies are now testing many of their drugs on situations that they never thought of before. Mm-hmm. So I think in the next 5 years, we are going to see a renaissance of drugs that really were going to make a difference, but we didn't know it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, because of their properties, right? Like an asthma drug that reduces inflammation in your breathing, in your respiratory system. Why wouldn't that reduce in inflammation in other places? As it turns out, in the brain.
But keep in mind, that's the paradigm effect. Remember?
Yep.
We're working on lungs. Why would I ever think to look at the
exactly.
brain?
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And what we're doing now is saying, wait a minute, this reduces this. Let's see how many places
exactly.
it can do that. So we've inverted the testing process.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's move over and talk about food. Food
and climate
we eat.
Change.
Food we eat and food that animals eat.
Yeah.
Plankton and rice. What do those two have together to go together?
Well, they're both stories that are basically about climate change. One of the concerns we have about climate change is that our food sources are not going to respond well to the temperature change. And we have a leader named Robert Henry who...
Do we have any evidence that that's happening?
Yeah, we do. Because, for instance, we are now growing corn in North Dakota. We couldn't do it before.
Okay.
So the temperature has changed that much that mm-hmm. the food band is changing.
Right.
So anyway, they've said rice is temperature sensitive. And what Robert Henry is doing is he's going into the wilds of Queensland and finding wild rice. Yeah, that's right, mm-hmm. Australia. And finding wild rice that has never been harvested. Native fashion.
So why isn't this seen as a good thing for global warming? One of the good traits of global warming.
Here's the thing. The downside is the rice we're using right now is not sensitive. He's trying to find stuff to replace it. But it's a big step from finding wild rice seeds and turning and domesticating it so that it grows easily. So he's actually anticipating the future.
He's
doing the work.
His work is prophylactic, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And one of the things that blew me away, that when somebody said, well, why are you doing this? He says, you have to understand that rice has been grown for 7,000 years, and it has been so domesticated, there is no variation.
And what I like about what he's doing, I think, and I don't know the man, and I don't know his ideology or his philosophies, what it sounds like to me, he's saying, okay, regardless of what's causing climate change, whether it's all human or part human or not human cause, we have these effects. Let's do something about it. Because when we look around 100 years from now, And it won't matter who's decided who caused it. We'll still want to eat rice.
Exactly right.
I like that approach.
He's anticipating
he's agnostic about the
problem.
Cause.
Exactly. And he's saying, I'm doing my work now.
I like
so
that.
So his work is very important. It's Robert Henry, and they can
Google
him.
We need more of that kind of thinking, I think. All right, what about the plankton?
Now, this is one of the things you have to admire scientists before, about the way they operate. They had an assumption that from the satellites they could judge the amount of plankton in the ocean by the color change. Turns out they were wrong.
Hmm.
And so they have been exaggerating the death of plankton. Now they say...
And blaming it on climate change.
And blaming it, yeah. They had no other... What the heck? Look what's going on.
Right.
It is temperature related, but it's actually the plankton just being adaptable.
Right.
So what's interesting, and we have to remember this, is that plankton produce 70% of the oxygen we breathe and consume 50% of the carbon dioxide that the planet produces.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to know better.
We want healthy plankton. But isn't that a cautionary tale, though, about leaping to conclusions about climate change?
Well, it is, and it's also part of why I said that the scientist is they corrected it.
Yeah, and I appreciate that because, as you know, any given nature show you watch on Nat Geo, we'll talk about animals, and they'll throw some climate change comment in there that may be based on what these guys just corrected.
Yeah.
So well, I appreciate...
Yeah, exactly. The thing I like about our scientists is they're not afraid to say they're
wrong. And the thing I like about Joel Barker is that he's intellectually honest, and I appreciate that about you, Joel. Thank you for that.
Too.
And so Joel Barker and I will be back after these messages. When we come back, we're going to talk about a new kind of plastic. You use that all the time, don't you? This is new stuff, and you'll be amazed at what Joel's going to tell you about it. Stay with us. Right back with our after this break. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.